The Con Guy Show, the official program of theconguy.com, is heard on the We Be Geeks Collective and on Sci-Fi.Radio.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
We're the Con Guys, and this is the Con Guy Show, coming to you straight from the nerdy heart of Hollywood, California.
And this is Jim with theconguy.com.
She's been here with theconguy.com.
Katie here, aka the Con Girl.
Zordon did not want five teenagers with attitude.
My name is Derek Sam.
I'm Danae Sams, and that's my brother.
We are your home for news, opinions, and interviews from the world of Comic-Cons and fandoms, your ultimate insiders for all things I absolutely love that beginning.
It is so good.
Welcome, everybody.
Derek walking down the stairs in that cosplay, making that video, is probably my favorite part.
Well, welcome everybody back to the Con Guy Show. This is our Con Guy Happy Hour Live. This week, in addition to myself and Cheese on the Couch, he'll be here in just a moment. We have the awesome Con Girls. Woohoo! And we have Jake Jarley with us. Everybody, let's introduce ourselves. Katie, how you been doing?
I'm doing well. I'm happy to be back. I know I took last week off, but happy to be back. With my fellow con girl right below me, Danae. Happy to be here. I've been trying to just get all this convention news sorted out. So I will be talking about that shortly.
Fantastic. Half of the Samblings. We'll say the better half, but don't tell your brother that.
That's okay. Hey. He probably won't listen to this. hey, I'm Danae Sams. I'm half of the Samblings and half of the con girls. And
Con girls!
Yeah. We've been trying to run the Instagram. It's been fun. I've been trying to get on every Friday to watch the Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yes.
And just post on, because I'm a big reactor to things. My brother Derek and his wife had a lot of fun watching Sixth Sense with me recently. Even though I knew it was
it?
No, I had seen it. I knew the twist. I knew everything. But okay. It was still, we were watching it with a friend though who hadn't seen it, and that was especially fun. But anyways, I like reacting to stuff and putting in all the fun gifts. So yeah, if you want to watch Winter Soldier with me on a Friday, that would be awesome.
That is awesome. And special guest with us who's becoming kind of a regular special guest, Jake.
I'll just move in. It's okay.
We're fine.
It's Jake. Good, man. How you doing? Jake from the Jacobus System. Thanks again for having me on. It's always a pleasure to hang out with you guys and talk about our fun, geeky stuff. I'm excited about a few things coming up. One, Godzilla versus Kong, which is going to be really cool. Cannot wait for that. And also just enjoying all the great TV we have right now. So
that's right.
Looking forward to discussing this stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of which. Oh, wait.
Hey. Perfect timing.
All right. Jeez. You're muted.
You're muted. We can't hear you.
Luke, you're muted.
There you go.
Yeah, it's Cheeseman here, not Cheeseman on the couch anymore, at least at the moment. There's no couch here. So Cheeseman here with theconguy.com. Here, the media director, and wearing my Cobra Kai shirt today.
Nice.
We'll be talking Mighty Ducks, and I'll be kind of making some Cobra Kai references.
Yes. Good. And they're really good observations, too. Speaking of which, let's talk about the show tonight. Well, they did it. The organizers of San Diego Comic-Con have announced an actual in-person event for the San Diego Convention Center for Thanksgiving weekend of this year, which is, we're going to talk about it. It's called it's Comic-Con Special Edition.
Special Edition, yeah.
Special Edition. It's not the actual one, but we're going to spend the last half of the show talking about that. We break down what that means, who's likely to go, who's likely not to go, and all the really quick controversy that exploded around this. You know, I'm kind of resistant to say the controversy online, because that's all that's online. That's the only type of people these days online is angry people who like to yell about stuff.
I mean, it was like that before COVID, but it's become worse because no one can actually vent their thoughts in person.
I know.
Our emotions are turned up to 11.
We're going to be talking about it, but first we're going to dive into Falcon Winter Soldier episode 2. We're going to talk a little bit about the Mighty Ducks, the return, and this visceral new animated superhero show called Invincible on Amazon, which, guys, if you haven't seen, we'll talk about that in a second. My eyes are still bleeding from that show. Yeah. And of course, Katie is going to bring us some convention updates tonight. We have a packed night.
All right, everybody. So I'm going to end with the Comic-Con special edition stuff because it's a little bit hearty because they actually had another statement on their website after some of the controversy that's been going on. But first, we're going to talk about the, something that is upcoming, which you might have heard us mention a couple times so far in the last few weeks. That is LA Comic-Con's MicroCon. It's going to be an online virtual event. I think it's 4 hours, right, Jim?
Yes.
4-hour event on April 17th. It is presented by Sideshow Collectibles. So Sideshow has some big stuff coming up, I would say.
Yeah.
Tickets are now on sale if you would like to purchase them. General admission is $15. It's weird saying general admission because it's a general admission to your computer screen. But, you know, anyway, general admission is $15. VIP is $35. There's other VIP ones that you get you special exclusive looks into certain panels. I guess you can only get through certain tickets. And then there is an all-access pass for $99. There's also virtual meet and greets available. What up, Alex? Thank you. All right. So virtual meet and greets is a weird thing. They're like $50 to $100 for a virtual meet and greet. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't think I would want to spend $100 to virtually meet someone. It doesn't really seem like a meet and greet that way.
Nope.
But could be wrong. Maybe it's your thing. If it is, check them out on their website. And then they also have Midsummer Scream is something that, you know, the Scare Guy, our sister, our little neighbor podcast, the Scare Guy reports on. Midsummer Scream has not yet been canceled, according to their website. It's still supposed to be July 9th through 11th at the Long Beach Convention Center. We'll see if that continues. Something tells me it might get pushed back, but with the vaccinations being widely available in 2 weeks, maybe it will change. We'll see. Next up on the agenda is LA Comic-Con. It is still slated to happen in December. I forgot the dates. It's December. They moved it to December, and they do have special guests announced, as such as Frank Miller, Tom Welling, Zachary Levi, and the My Hero Academia cast. Those are the announced guests so far. They were the guests announced for LA Comic-Con before it got moved, and they are still going to be going on with those same people. Keep your eyes out for it, because information is constantly changing with these conventions and with the world in general. So obviously it can change literally as soon as this podcast ends, which it did, because Anime Expo literally got canceled right after I did my update last time. So then last but not least, WonderCon just wrapped up as well. And as soon as WonderCon wrapped up, Comic-Con does what it always does and releases information about San Diego Comic-Con. It's like, hey, you just took a lot of your money. Here's how we can take more of it. So Comic-Con Special Edition is the event that they scheduled for November. Before they announced it, they just said there will be an in-person event in November, but we don't have any details about it yet. Well, they announced it will be Thanksgiving weekend, November 26th through 28th.
Yep.
So that is when the in-person event happened. That's about all they told us, because there's no other information yet, nowhere to buy tickets, no information about how it's going to be. But they did release a second thing on their website that I'm going to read. It's a little lengthy, but bear with me. It says, our decision to hold an in-person event in 2021 was driven by a number of factors. Our primary hope was to be able to gather in person as a community, something we have not been able to do since early last year. Another was to try to determine how best to effectively and safely produce events in light of our current health concerns with the least negative impact on attendees. As conventions and events have had to cancel their in-person shows or have converted to virtual formats during the pandemic, some have been postponed to later years while others have been rescheduled to the later part of 2021, resulting in a very packed convention center calendar. When reviewing dates for an in-person event, it was clear that the available meeting and exhibit space would limit our options. Of the dates presented with the fewest restrictions, Friday through Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend seemed to be the best balance of space and our envisioned event. As longtime fans ourselves, we have attended many conventions over the holiday weekend, opting to spend Thanksgiving Day with family and the rest of the weekend with friends and our families of choice. While this in the convention trade, we understand the choice is not optimal for everyone. Comic-Con Special Edition was never intended to be a large gathering reflective of the summer event. As a shorter event, it is our attempt to start slowly and cautiously while at the same time addressing the desire for fans to have an in-person show. There are many factors that are unknown to us at this time, including space, accommodations, travel restrictions, capacity restrictions, and required safety protocols. While open to all, and this the hope that we will be able to accommodate fans from all over, we understand that due to the potential travel-based restrictions and challenges, Comic-Con Special Edition may be an event attended mostly by fans more easily able to travel to San Diego. Currently, we do not know whether having this event in November is even feasible, as we are still in the midst of the pandemic. And while we are optimistic about quarter four, we have not been privy to any special information on large gatherings. However, it was our desire to have something in place for our fans who have longed for an in-person event. We truly hope that you will join us for this entry back into the world of in-person celebrations of the community we so love. So that was another statement that they made, because obviously a lot of people were like, why Thanksgiving? That's a terrible time. We want to spend time with family. It's the very first time we've ever been able to meet with family potentially in a year. So that's kind of a release that they basically said, we acknowledge that, this is why. And so I did appreciate the transparency of that. So we'll see. But it also doesn't help that it is Thanksgiving weekend. So if you guys were like us, you kind of looked at hotels to see what they would look like. But the way that it works is when they know there's an event day with Comic-Con, they usually block out those days. So the prices skyrocket because they want you to use their system to book them, which I'm assuming is what's going to happen here. But the other thing is it's a holiday weekend. People who are traveling to San Diego to see family have to stay somewhere. So that peaks the prices as well. So we'll see what happens with that. But that's it for now. Thanks for bearing with me for that lengthy statement by Comic-Con.
Katie, thank you. Thank you. And since we are talking about Comic-Con, let's go ahead. This is the big show. This is the major portion of the show. Let's go ahead and talk about this a little bit. There was, and Katie, you kind of mentioned this, there was a lot of blowback pretty quick once the announcement, I think, dropped Friday.
Yeah.
Friday during the day. I was at an event and when a friend of ours said, hey, did you see this? I was like, oh, wow. And then what do you guys think? What do you guys think about the Thanksgiving Day weekend? Or the Thanksgiving weekend? It's not Thanksgiving Day.
I don't like it.
Okay.
For the main reason, what I saw online is I love conventions. I want to get back to them. Mm-hmm. And San Diego Comic-Con has always been a great thing for me as my escape for the year. It's my vacation. You know, I see all you guys. We have fun. We go to parties. But given this fact that most of us have not been able to see our families in the major holidays, like last Christmas, last New Year's, etc., it is kind of the first time people are going to be able to do that. So, yeah. But at the same time, I get it, because if it's going to be a smaller event, they're kind of banking on that, you know, like, hey, if it really matters to you. Now, it all depends too. I mean, I don't always get home for Thanksgiving. But I also would feel a little bit guilty going to a convention and not going home to my family.
Right. So.
Like, hey, I can't come to Thanksgiving. Why? Because I'm going to Comic-Con.
Well, the thing that's kind of interesting is that they're recognizing the fact that, and I was talking with our friend Brad, who I think, Brad's on tonight. The fact that they're having it over a holiday weekend does kind of perhaps limit the attendance, especially the busiest traveled weekend of the year here in the States.
Yeah.
Well, it's super expensive and it kind of might reduce it down to more of a locals event. So Jake, I mean, Jake,
would you leave your family to come to Comic-Con with us?
Sure. Come on. Let's go. No. No, it's a weird thing. I feel, you know, it's nice that they're attempting to do something, you know, to at least try to get people back there, but it's a weird time. You didn't expect to go during the holidays. You know, some things are meant for certain times, you know. It was funny because when Katie was talking about this, it kind of reminded me of the original Star Wars movies, because Star Wars was always a summer thing. It was always a summer event. And then after Disney bought it, they became like Christmas movies in a weird way, where it's like you go, it's like, it's weird, but you know, yeah, I don't know. I don't see me traveling to that, you know,
yeah,
as opposed to like a normal Comic-Con. So, but it's then again, like
Black Friday, like interesting day.
Yeah. It's just, it just feels weird, you know. Even thinking about it, it's like, oh, it's weird.
Yeah. Maybe the first time in a while we actually see lines on Black Friday.
What about you, Danae? Because you're kind of local, but you have, I mean, you are local to now, but a lot of your family lives on the East Coast. So is this something that you'd consider?
I mean, as soon as I heard it was Thanksgiving weekend, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to make that because, I mean, we've been pretty transparent about how much we love Comic-Con. It's where I met all of you guys. I mean, I wouldn't say it's why. Derek is why. I mean, I will, not to sound like a holiday Hallmark movie here, but Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. And as much as I love just San Diego Comic-Con and the nerdiness of it, I will choose to be with my family for that weekend. Because I know, like, my mom especially has really been wanting to get together. We were all talking about taking a special, like, trip specifically for Thanksgiving and having, like, some extended family be there because we should all be vaccinated and safe by then. And I was like, you know, as much as I love Comic-Con, as much as I miss it because I haven't been since 2016, I would rather be with my family on Thanksgiving. Like, I want to watch the Thanksgiving Day Parade and I want to eat ham, not turkey. But yeah, as much as I love Comic-Con, I would rather be with my family on a holiday.
Yeah, I think it's kind of similar to the WonderCon Easter thing. It's not very sensitive to people's schedule and just, you know, like having to choose your family over this because it's just really killing the business. I mean, they're not going to get as many people going. And especially if, you know, they're looking to get big guests there, you know, those people aren't going to choose.
Yeah.
You know, these things, unless they pay them up, you know, or whatever. But they need to be smarter about that. But me being someone that doesn't usually go home for Thanksgiving, I'll go because, you know, as long as I can have Thanksgiving with my friends and then kind of go down there or even Thanksgiving at a restaurant down there.
But I think these are all valid concerns. And like what Luke was talking about was WonderCon used to always be on Easter weekend. And
yep.
Even the year, the last year, 2020, it was scheduled to be on Easter weekend before it got canceled. And that's a frustrating thing that a lot of people, we were even there at WonderCon before and hearing one of the big presenters, a big movie producer saying, you know, I couldn't come last year. It was on Easter and I got family stuff. I'm so glad you guys moved it off so I can show up. The one thing that people were asking is, well, why would we have an event in November in the first place? Well, for one, if you check the schedule on the San Diego Convention Center, it was the only weekend that was available this year.
Yeah.
And one of the things that the organizers did say was that they, and let's be honest, they needed this for revenue purposes. They said, we need revenue. That's kind of a scary thing to think, like, guys, we got to have an event because we just need to get some money in the bank. That leads us to believe that, wow, they've been having a rough time. I mean, 2 years without any revenue, that's going to be true.
I mean, there's millions, if not, I don't know how much they make, but millions and millions and millions of dollars that go into this event. So, like.
I agree. But also.
Not just that, downtown San Diego. Like, I mean, the businesses, all those businesses that the small restaurants, you go to the bars, I mean, all of them get hit really hard by San Diego Comic-Con. Like, they might hate it because it's so busy, but at the same time, financially, they make a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And they put that in their release, their updated release, you know, because they did get a lot of blowback. And they said, guys, look, this is for economic reasons, not just for the organization here, but for all of downtown San Diego, all the businesses that depend on this business. And let's be honest, we've been to a lot of conventions. I've never seen one that turns the entire city into its campus like San Diego Comic-Con does. So
the only thing remotely similar to that I've experienced was the CMA Music Festival in Nashville. When that goes on, all of downtown is the attendees for the music festival. That's because it's cool. At the football stadium in Nashville. So that's where it takes, where the actual headliners are at night. And then throughout downtown, there are multiple stages set up for during the day, music artists. So everything during that week is surrounded by this whole event. So that's the only other thing I've ever been to that has that much of a financial hit.
Katie, we're going to have to go to one of these country music concerts with you. You're talking about kids. Like me and Cheeseman, we've gone to a couple of Jimmy Buffett events this past couple of years, and those are big events. But, I mean, nothing like what you're talking about, nothing like a San Diego Comic-Con. Also, can we talk a little bit of one of the pushbacks they got was the fact that people are still afraid. And we don't know what it's going to be like, and they even mentioned there, they said they don't even know if it's feasible. However, this is a full 7 months past when we are being told the entire country will have access to the vaccine. It doesn't mean they're all going to take it, but 7 months. Renee, what does your mom say about this?
I don't know. We're mostly just making fun of my other brother, who was all about, like, I don't know, how can we trust it? And I'll admit, I only heard about half of that question because, like I said, I got my vaccine already today, and I am struggling to focus.
No, working. And if you need to, like, head off to bed, we are fully understanding.
But I got to talk about Falcon and Winter Soldier, so let's just...
We're almost there. What do you think about the efficacy of, I mean, is it going to be safe? 7 months past when apparently the entire country has access to the vaccine. 7 months. Is that a safe time for people to be returning to larger scale events? And granted, you're not a doctor and you don't play one on TV.
No. I mean, I think it's just boils down to the still just, you know, wear your mask, wash your hands. I think a lot of the recommendations for COVID was just stuff that my mom, who was an infection preventist for over 25 years, always said about, you know, being careful what you touch and don't talk too close to people. Well, so as long as the biggest issue, I think, with handling COVID was people weren't, you know, staying home when they were sick, washing their hands, wearing your mask. I don't know. People are dumb. We'll see. I can't tell you, yes, it's going to be fine, but I'm just like, I got my vaccine. I'll keep wearing a mask. I'll go.
Yep.
And do stuff.
Another thing that some people have been saying is like, well,
I take a nap.
San Diego Comic-Con is a big industry convention. Mm-hmm. It's one of the conventions where the studios and the publishers show up to show off what's coming out. And people are like, well, what are they going to be showing in November? Ah, I've got a little bit of a taste of that. Just from the Disney side, Book of Boba Fett is supposed to premiere in December from Lucas and Disney.
Already?
Yeah, Book of Boba Fett in December. West Side Story is not quite a Comic-Con thing. That's premiering. The Kingsman debuts in theaters December 22nd.
That got pushed back, right? That was supposed to already be out, right?
We were supposed to get that like last July.
Right, but it's scheduled for this December, and so it's going to need a big media push. Death on the Nile, you know, from Rian Johnson, that's supposed to come out in February. But also Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness is supposed to come out in March. So this would be its convention. And then
I mean, I don't think it needs the hype, but, you know.
But, you know, and then Thor, Love and Thunder, is supposed to be coming out in May. So those are some – and that doesn't include, like, the streaming series from Marvel and Lucasfilm. It doesn't even include Warner Brothers. There's a lot of stuff. And the publishing calendar, like, there's a lot of things that happen over the Christmas holidays. There is the thinking
Spider-Man.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is the thinking that Black Friday could not be a better day to launch the collectibles, which every one of these companies will be pushing for the Christmas season. So there is a little bit of that. So I think
one other thing that is probably another concern by people, and I think Brad kind of mentioned it earlier, is that's a lot of money to spend right before Christmas.
Yep.
So yeah, right. If you buy your Christmas presents there or whatever, your holiday gifts there, that's one thing. But to be traveling so closely to Christmas and to be traveling and, you know, spending a big amount of money before Christmas is hard. You know, with San Diego Comic-Con, it's halfway through the year. It still gives us 5 months, 6 months before we have to purchase stuff for the Christmas season. It's a lot easier to take a vacation during the summer in July than it is to take an extra vacation that isn't family oriented in November. You know, so there's so many factors. And I mean, it also just makes me think, which I get it's the best source, but, you know, to bring in the argument that so many people bring is when they say don't go shopping on Thanksgiving, let them have their Thanksgiving. Okay, so is everybody who's going to be running this event even going to be able to celebrate Thanksgiving? You know, because they're going to be prepping for it. But I mean, they did choose. I'm sure they had those discussions and everything too. But, you know, so, but a lot of people go to theme parks on holidays. So in some ways it's like, okay, maybe they will just, instead of going to Disney, maybe they'll go to a convention. But it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens. And right now without knowing how much tickets are going to be, without knowing how many people are going to be there, it's hard to commit until you know that information. You know, San Diego Comic-Con, we have all the information because it's been going on for over 50 years. So we know the prices. We know kind of how many people are going to be there when it happens. But, I mean, I can assume that in 2022, Comic-Con is not going to have 130,000 people. I mean, you know, everything's been changed. So it's going to be interesting. But as far as the people who are afraid to go and think it's too soon, it is 7 months away. I'm with Jim on that, you know, and Danae, we don't know what the next 7 months holds. Hopefully we have like herd immunity by that point. But the other thing is for me, I try to be optimistic. I'm trying to be optimistic through this whole thing. Cause if you don't, it will literally drive you insane.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to stay optimistic, but I completely respect that other people are going to still be scared. And that's totally okay too.
You know what? And that is fine. And that's, I was talking with somebody who's like, they're, And let's not, I don't want to get political on it, but when it comes to opening up and things, people, they'll have their political opinions, but also people come from two different perspectives and all over the spectrum on when is it going to be safe and when is it not going to be safe. I have been a person, I guess, who I've been very safe and thoughtful, but I have gotten out in the world, I guess you should. And a lot of people think that perhaps I got out a little bit too much. Although I always had my mask, I've traveled back east a couple of times. But I think it's very important to stay safe. And for me, 7 months from now on Thanksgiving weekend, I'm loving that idea. I absolutely love it. And I know I'm not maybe in the majority. But we got to understand that San Diego Comic-Con, they are doing the best they can to find a date that is far enough away, but still this year. They need to generate some revenue, but they also, I think they really do want to give the fans something to talk about, something to experience. And so, and Brad did have a,
we lost to Jake.
There you go.
There he is.
I actually logged out. Sorry.
And Brad made a couple comments that I'm almost resistant to put these up because it could be, you know, spreading rumors. I don't know, but let's talk about it for a second. Cause Brad knows a lot of people down at Comic-Con, and he said a friend of his that works at San Diego Comic-Con is telling him that they are considering making the November event only for fully vaccinated attendees, which really that's not going to be hard considering that most everyone will have the vaccine this summer.
Yeah, I understand that, but they're going to have a lot of pushback too.
But then a San Diego Comic-Con vaccination passport pass is where I get really leery with stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He says you'll need to upload your proof of full vaccination to your profile on the Comic-Con website, and a special pass with your vaccination status will be included in the chip. There's that scary word, the chip info in your pass. By the way, guys, we're not saying this is true information. This is something that a contact at Brad's has told him. Katie, what were you going to say?
There'll definitely be more pushback if they do that. I understand it is their absolute right for a business to do what they feel best. They're allowed to do that. But when it comes to something like that, is that worth the reward that they're going to get in return?
I agree.
I'm unsure if that might be true because I'm wanting to say, and I'm not an expert here, but I feel like that violates the Medical Privacy Act.
Makes sense.
Of having to show proof of, like, unless you are, you know, signing up for like a school or a government institution, like a college, then you do not have to show your medical history. Mm-hmm. Yep. That was something, because I have a friend with an autoimmune disease who has a lot of information that she doesn't want to share. And she was like, you know, hey, I don't have to tell you everything that's happened to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm not totally sure. I don't hold me to that. But I will say really quick, as the history nerd, of the con people, and I'm saying this as Janae, not as a member of the con guy, the worst epidemic that happened in the United States and arguably in the world was smallpox. And it has been eradicated from the United States and most of the world because people got their vaccines.
My name is Mark McCrane. I'm the author of The Best Saturdays of Our Lives.
I'm Dan Klink, co-host of The Best Saturdays of Our Lives podcast.
The Best Saturdays of Our Lives features programming trends from the 1966 television season all the way through the last hurrah of the early digital age of the 1990s.
On the show, if it's animated, we talk about it.
Order your signed copy today at tbsool.com.
And listen to the podcast at esonetwork.com and all podcast platforms.
The Weekly Marvel.
All right. I like it.
You fixed it.
So it's time
Although for you missed an opportunity to save like the Marvel minute, but we'll you know, it's okay.
We always talk longer than a minute, though.
I know, but.
All right. First,
we talk 45 minutes about Comic-Con, whether or not we want to go on Thanksgiving.
Guys, okay. I got to push back, though. We're the con guys. It's the biggest topic of the year we could possibly discuss. Yeah. Today. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, episode 2. Tell us what you think.
Okay, I think they did a great job casting for the new... Captain America, because I was like, they found a guy that was like just unhandsome enough. Like, he's handsome enough to be on TV, but not like... Chris Evans good looking so that we're all just
Chris Evans. Do you know who he is?
No, I don't watch TV unless it's not
Kurt Russell's son.
Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn.
Really?
Goldie Hawn's son. He's kind of a big deal and his dad's part of the Marvel universe. And then it was interesting because even his acting on this, because I've seen him in other stuff, like the way he'd talk or his mannerisms felt a lot like his dad, more like his dad, like in this role and stuff, like more like leading man, more kind of a lot more kind of charisma. Cause he had kind of like in 22 Jump Street, he had more of that like bro mentality, which I loved his character in 22 Jump Street. But this one, he really, I think, kind of honed in. And I was, and especially with the intro of the show and kind of humanizing him a little bit, I'm like, I kind of like him, you know.
Hey, we all liked Ego at the beginning of Guardians 2, so
yeah.
It's
mom.
Now you know you're getting old when the sons and daughters of like big Hollywood people are old enough to like be adults actors, like, because him and the guy who plays Huey in The Boys is the son of Meg Ryan and Dennis Quaid. So it's crazy. Like, it's interesting. So,
I stand by my
Francis Bean Cobain to be the next Nirvana.
Oh, I was going to say, I stand by that. Like, they got him, you know, they picked the right one because he is like only, you know, office workspace handsome. He's not like movie star handsome. So I was like, yeah, backup Captain America. That's about where he should fall. I'm not as conceited as I'm sounding right now. Go ahead, Katie.
No, I agree with you. Literally, when I watched the second episode, I don't know if I texted you guys, but I texted my friend and I told my roommate, I was like, he looks like the Disneyland Parks meet and greet version of Captain America.
Yeah. He did. He really did. Yeah. And it was, also just real quick, I was so excited to see Erin Kellyman. Because she was in Solo as part of this other resistance. She was awesome in that. I think part of my favorite moment in this episode, though, was just like Bucky and Sam having therapy together.
Couples therapy, yeah.
Basically couples therapy, yeah. Because, I mean, couples therapy does not have to be reserved for a married couple. I mean, every relationship goes through its hard moments. And I really appreciate how much they are highlighting like PTSD and how important therapy is. And it's just, I'm just like, yeah, you know, we all have our issues, no matter how big of a hero you are. And we have to go get the help that we need for it. And I especially love the stubbornness of like walking to an airport because they didn't want to be in the same car as new Captain America. I was like, I 100% relate here.
Yeah.
My favorite part was the staring. Like, does he always stare like this?
It was so such a Sebastian Stan and Anthony Mackie thing, too, if you've ever seen like any sort of interview with them. Like, that's the kind of thing that they do. But
They are great together.
Yeah, I also kind of loved, I don't know if this was on purpose or not, but when they were fighting on the trucks, it yep. felt really reminiscent of Captain America fighting on the trains, which I'm surprised the trucks were able to like stay the same speed and stay that close together for that
good
long.
Stunt drivers.
Happen on roads. Yeah, that's not how those drivers operate. But yeah, I love just that like commonality, especially with, you know, new Captain America jumping down from a helicopter or whatever. And yeah, it was, I loved like all of those little moments of hinting back to other things in the Marvel extended, like Marvel universe. Mm-hmm. And except I was like, okay, the trucks don't drive like that. Let's get real for a little bit.
Yeah.
I will excuse super soldiers, but I will not excuse trucks that drive abnormally.
You probably wouldn't like any of the Fast and the Furious movies then.
It was kind of cool how when he fell off, it kind of mirrored the scene from the first Avenger when he falls off the train.
Yep.
And he's hanging out on the side. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So the best thing that happened on that scene, which was just a very subtle, quick thing, is when Bucky caught the shield, kind of like he did, you know, in, you know, the Winter Soldier and all that, and then just kind of subtly, and then
he
handed tossed
it back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This show is really making me want to go back and have like a Marvel rewatch party.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, this show is they've upped the ante on screen action. I was like, holy crap! I mean, it's like watching one of the best movies they've made, but both episodes
I said that. I agree with that. Literally, the first episode, I was like, that was more, I liked that more than the entire series of WandaVision.
Exactly.
But I knew I would like it more than WandaVision. But here's my thoughts of episode two. Episode two, first of all, Emily would want me to tell you guys that she was very upset.
You got
that
the
you
Bucky
did not
crushes,
see,
though, so that's part of it.
Yeah, that you didn't see Bucky and Sam in the episode together in the first episode. She hated that. Emily hated that. I understand that, but you did have to somewhat set up. What is interesting to me is in the critiques of the episode, a lot of people who absolutely loved WandaVision and did not think it was slow and did not think all these things thought the Winter Soldier is slow, which is so weird to me because I don't think Winter Soldier and the Falcon is like slow at all, right? But it's just very interesting to see people saying that about this who did, but don't think that WandaVision was. But I had a few other emotions in the show in this episode, particularly when it started off and, you know, you see, I'm calling him this stupid Homelander dude because he gives me Homelander vibes from The Boys and that's all I keep thinking. So I keep saying like, I literally was so angry for like the first 20 minutes when they were like, he's like, I did my time. And first of all, I wanted to be like 12 years of it in Azkaban. But then also I was like, yeah, you know who else has done time? Bucky, who's been in this series for 10 years. Where do you come in and 20 minutes into the show think that you can take all that shield? And I was just yelling at the TV. I was so mad. And I'm like, it's just a show. It's just a show. Calm down, Katie. Calm down.
Then we get
into it. And I love all the stuff that they're doing about PTSD and depression and all this different stuff. I think it's a very good commentary to do, especially after the year we have. Another reason I want to applaud Falcon and the Winter Soldier is because most Marvel films don't have a lot of political commentary in it, which I both love, but I also love when you can address political commentary in a way that fits and in a way that doesn't seem forced. And I like that they're taking the opportunity to take just the right amount of balance with political commentary and comedy and drama all at the same time. Mm-hmm. It was nice to see that. It's nice to see Marvel being like, we have a voice and let's use it. Mm-hmm. And some people don't like the therapy stuff, but I absolutely love it. I think it's fun.
It gives it that Mr. and Mrs. Smith kind of feel in some ways. And then when they did that too, like when they were together in the like couple therapy thing, that was very like 22 Jump Street kind of feeling. And I thought it was funny.
And then when the therapist, when Bucky is leaving and he goes, what's rule number two? And she says not to hurt anybody. And he's just like, what did you just make me do? And you're just like, oh.
Yeah, like, they don't want to be friends after this now.
Yeah, boom. He's like, you made me tell him how I feel, which hurt him. And which is, that's me breaking my own, the rule that you told me to live by. So,
oh, I didn't get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why he asked her, like, in a kind of, like, passive-aggressive way, was like, what's rule number two? Because he did not want to tell Sam that. So,
what was it he told Sam?
When he said, basically, how maybe Steve was wrong in picking you. If you are going to give up the shield like that, then clearly you're not the person that he or I thought you were. And that means I didn't know Steve very well. So.
Right. No, and then he also, the sad part is he's like, maybe Steve was wrong about me too. Cause you know, like Steve did everything to kind of redeem him and kept him kind of alive and from being in prison and basically risked everything for him. And then he's like, maybe his judgment wasn't the best and maybe I'm not worthy of this either.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad. But I think they set it up really well. And I would love to, I don't know if he's been involved in any of this, but I would love to see Shane Black come back and do some episodes of this because I think he'd be the perfect fit for, you know, since he did Lethal Weapon, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and then he did Iron Man 3. He's so good at like this buddy charisma thing. I think Shane Black, if he came in as a guest director on some of these shows, I think he'd really blow it away.
Yeah. I agree.
Also, we saw War Machine, which I don't think any of us were expecting that.
Yeah. Episode one.
Yeah. Hey, Jake, real quick, what was your take on it?
I loved it. I thought it was great. The action scenes were, you know, way beyond what you, like I said last time, what you expect from a TV show. It's just, you feel like you're watching a movie, you know. I will say the saddest thing, RIP Red Wing. That was terrible.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, no one felt bad about that.
I can't believe there isn't a backup.
Like, I was like, no.
There someone's going to get a hold of Tony. Yeah. Oh, wait, technology
still exists somewhere, and we'll
Sam's going to be Sam's going to be fixing him soon.
But yeah, I it's great. Lucky was happy about it.
Bury him in a little hole on the side of the road.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you guys are all, you know, but to go with what Katie was saying, how I loved WandaVision. I thought it was really good. It's a different type of show altogether. But to compare how you compare the first two episodes of WandaVision, where it's just like they're just doing the sitcom stuff and you have no idea what's going on. And then you compare the first two episodes of Falcon Winter Soldier, it's night and day. It's like crazy the amount of action and how much fast paced and, you know, warrior involved because we knew the characters and we're, you know, invested in Marvel stuff. So we're like, okay, well, it's kind of weird. Let's just see how it plays out. And then eventually it was good. But, you know, for someone to say that they thought the Falcon and Winter Soldier was slow, I'm like, come on.
I've been hearing it.
Hopefully Loki holds up because, you know, Loki doesn't come off as like the big warrior. I know he does a little bit of battling, but this feels a little more action-based than Loki may possibly be, but we'll see. You know, like
Loki's going to be more tricksters and things like tricksters.
Yeah. Lots of silliness. I am so excited to discuss that with you guys. Like, I just get ready.
And just did you guys? We can't pass up Isaiah Bradley, the character, super soldier that they went to visit. He's actually from the comics. He was one of the Captain Americas at one time in the comic books. He's one of the first African American superheroes and featured as Captain America. And it was they kind of like played that one kind of really intense, that scene with him, probably more intense than I was anticipating.
I'm hoping they will show more though, because it was obviously an actor that they aged up for this, which kind of to me looked like that they may either do some sort of separate series or character thing, or maybe within this series do some flashback episode or something back to when him and Bucky kind of faced off and all that, because you know you'd cast somebody like older to do it if that was just all it was, but there's something, he's gonna be back or there's something that's gonna happen.
Yeah, I can't imagine like a loaded character like that they would just show him for that moment and never bring
him
back.
I don't think they will.
Yeah.
That is Falcon and Winter Soldier for this week. But let's switch over to another superhero that a couple of us saw. I don't think everybody did. This is the Amazon original series called Invincible. And it's by the creator, Robert Kirkman, who was the guy behind the Walking Dead series. So last weekend, apparently, Ben told us that he and his lovely bride, Bree, were invited to the big... They had a big premiere of this at the Rose Bowl. They were not able to go, but apparently this show is getting a lot of buzz. Cheeseman, what'd you think?
I wasn't really paying attention when I watched it the first time last night, but then when I rewatched it today, I was actually like, this is kind of a fun thing. There was definitely this like father and son vibe that's kind of cool. And like growing up in a family where your dad's a superhero, you don't quite have your power yet and all that. And like, I actually kind of really enjoyed it. We'll talk about the ending. That kind of totally kind of shocked me a different direction. But, you know, like having a son, you're experiencing kind of that once his power started to come, his dad was kind of like mentoring him and all that. And kind of him talking to his mom and kind of a very relational thing of like being the son of somebody that's like everything to the world. And dealing with that, it felt very like humanizing of a character, and they had a great cast and people kind of involved in this. So, and then Robert Kirkman being part of this with the Walking Dead series, I could definitely could see this thing continuing.
Jake, I saw the clip. I didn't watch the episode, but I was just like, oh, okay. Hey, all I said back was, I just said, Robert Kirkman, you know?
It's not giving it away to say there was an extreme level of gore that I've not seen in an animated series before. I mean, not just a little bit. It was like, holy crap. I was not expecting the level of gore that we saw.
No, I think it almost came as an after credit type scene. Like, I think they kind of made it seem like the episode was over, and then they kind of went into that whole thing.
It kind of reminded me of the animated sequence in Kill Bill Volume 1.
So I encourage everybody, if you want some good, I was about to say old-fashioned, but there's nothing old-fashioned about this show.
Some good old-fashioned.
Father Knows Best with a lot of blood and violence.
Yeah, check out Invincible on Amazon. And last but not least, as far as our TV shows are concerned, Disney's The Mighty Ducks Game Changers hit our screens this weekend as well.
On Disney Plus. Yes. I watched it.
Katie, what did you think?
Okay, well, obviously, you guys all know this. I am a massive Ducks fan. I have the actual hockey team, and I loved the movies when I was a kid. I loved the movies so much that I wanted to play hockey, but did not have the means to do it when I was young. I played broom hockey, but that was about it. But obviously, it's not necessarily geared for someone in their 30s. I can admit that. But there is the nostalgia factor because, you know, we did get to see Coach Bombay again, and he's playing a very, like, bitter, you know, person who just no longer wants anything to do with what his former life. And I thought, okay, that seems right. Based off of my age, based off what time has done to me, I can understand that. And we're going through all this stuff with everything that happened this year. You can kind of understand it. At first, I didn't like that he was totally different and was away from that. But then it clicked in. I'm like, that is kind of a realistic approach. It happens a lot. So I did like that. As for the show itself, with all the newcomers in the show, it gave me the first Mighty Ducks movie meets Little Giants.
That's what Luke was saying.
Have you guys seen Little Giants?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it gave me those vibes of like the beginning movie of Mighty Ducks forming this team and the Little Giants with all the kids who weren't good enough for their Pee Wee football team because they are young kids. They're, I think, 12 to 14 years old. So it very much gave me that feeling. And the biggest thing that's great about like Little Giants is the word heart. And the show had heart. And I think it was nice in a year of pretty depressing stuff and heavy stuff going on. It was nice to have a show that just has heart. And I enjoyed it. I'll keep watching it. Obviously, I know it's probably not geared for people that are my age, but at the same time, the movies came out when I was younger. So obviously people my age are going to watch the Mighty Ducks show just because of the nostalgia factor. So, but it was cute. It was cute. I had no problems with it.
Yeah. And the thing is, and Katie, you did make a good point. You said maybe it isn't for people your age. I would say that the original movie was for people our age.
Mm-hmm.
And because we went back and rewatching that. It's a lot edgier than what this series feels more like a Disney Channel movie.
Definitely.
That's what the big difference was. And there is a little nostalgia factor. What's cool is there is an episode. I have the picture right here. Where some of the Mighty Ducks come back to
Disney. Nice.
And look how big all of them are. This is crazy.
They're all grown up.
Some of them are in prison, so they can't, you know.
Hey, no, he's doing really well now. Sean, who played Goldberg, he's doing a convention coming up that was just announced. Yep. I'm glad it exists. I'm glad it's there. They're bringing people back. But, and why I wear Cobra Kai tonight is because if they Cobra Kai'd the show, like, it'd be one of the best shows out there and stuff. They went way too just like trying to do like a new thing with it. It kind of like, and I really did like, you know, they had a mom character really looking out for the kids, but it felt almost like the mom wrote the show to make her the hero and stuff, and went a little too over the top on it, in my opinion, and stuff. Like, spoiler alert, like at the end, like it just ended so awkwardly with her like skating, and I'm like, wait, that's the end? Because like Cobra Kai would have been like, oh, here's this like skater guy that's like, the Mighty Ducks, I want to take them down. Like they'd add something kind of like cheesy, menacing, but kind of fun and nostalgic. And whenever he'd watch Cobra Kai with Brad, like he'd always do these moments that really kind of threw back to the old original stuff. And I really didn't feel like they did those moments or took advantage of those things where they could really kind of draw back to get the old fans like, oh yeah, they did this kind of the first one, or they kind of brought this back. And one of the biggest things, it's like they freaking Last Jedi'd Gordon Bombay, and it made no sense at all. It's like, I hate kids, I hate hockey. No explanation for it. They turn him into this grumpy old man that just cool.
Wait, I gotta jump in because Katie had a different take on that.
And so here's the thing is I get that it was, like I said, at first I did feel that way, Luke. I did. But there was one line where he, and this isn't meant to spoil it, but basically he's talking to the mom. I forget her name right now. The actress, I forget her name right now from
Gilmore Girls. Her name's Lauren Graham. Yep.
Thank you, Lauren. That's what I thought. All right. So I get her confused with the Lauren from Walking Dead, their names. But
that's Lauren Cohen.
He says, you know, these parents of young kids who are playing hockey, they're terrible. They're pushing these kids and the kids aren't having fun. And so you kind of see why Bombay is the way he is. He doesn't like what has become of the sport that he once did love.
Well, the Mighty Ducks in general, he did comment on he didn't like what the team, but still that doesn't make sense of why he hates hockey and sports. I understand he'd hate the Ducks and what they became.
Yeah.
And all that.
Don't worry. He'll force project himself into the last game and then
dissolve and die randomly. But
yeah, when I was watching,
for me, like, cause I went back cause I was so disturbed by thing that I went back and I'm, how did the old movie feel? And I kind of, it had been a long time. Like I was a kid since like the last time I'd seen some of this stuff. And I'm like, oh, he's this hotshot lawyer that only wanted to win, that just basically walked over people, got a DUI and then couldn't do that and had to do community service to, and that became the Mighty Ducks or whatever. But I'm like, why not return him back to his lawyer roots of like, he's not winning cases because he's looking out too much for the underdog or something like that. But then kind of bridge his lawyer life back into that. And then he ends up kind of coaching again or giving him kind of that passion and all that. And then even the kids in the first one, they're like these misfit, but they're fun. They're kind of rebellious. They're kind of getting into rambunctious. They're like impractical jokers as little kids. And then these kids are just kind of like boring and not as like prankster kind of stuff. Cause like me growing up, like me and Jake, like we grew up together, but we were kind of the kids, like we weren't like, you know, the most popular kids that like were the best at the sports. I did play football, but like basketball was a cool thing at our school, but we were kind of like a little bit of the misfit people that just sat back and joked and were more like the jackass kind of mentality type thing in our lives.
The jackass.
And I kind of wanted to see more of that from these kids. Like even in like Cobra Kai, like dumping stuff on people or doing things that are a little offline where they need a little discipline. They need a little parental stuff in their life. Cause they're, you know, they're little troublesters, but they're not just like loser kids because they can't make a hockey team or whatever. I just feel like if they're going to tie back and pay homage to different stuff with the Mighty Ducks, I feel like it could have just been written and developed better. And I'm not saying it won't develop more as it goes. I think it'll get better. And then if more people get involved, or they bring back original cast, and we're friends with Aaron Schwartz, who lost a bunch of weight. Can I bring this up?
Yes, Brad's talking about this as well. Until they put a certain Ducks film cast member, who is our friend, who will remain nameless, Aaron Schwartz, on the new series, I have no interest.
Yeah.
So,
but back to what I was saying with the Aaron thing, they should have cast an original Mighty Duck player to be the coach of the Mighty Ducks, and Aaron would have been the perfect character because he wasn't in part 2 and 3 where he lost all this weight, got super shape, and he like maybe has this cutthroat mentality of like, no, we're taking it to the next level. They needed like that kind of character because he had no tie to the original Mighty Ducks. This guy coaching where Aaron could have like perfectly played like the douchebag kind of guy that like lost his way. He's leading the Ducks. We're going to be the best team out there. And I don't know why they cast some random dude.
Is there any original cast member besides Emilio?
Right now, just Emilio.
We showed you the picture. They're having a reunion, but a one episode reunion. The same guy, Stephen Brill, who wrote the first movie, is the guy. This is his series. And Brad does say this. He says Emilio did an interview saying he signed on to the series because he wanted his character to take that direction where hockey had not been good to him over the years since the film.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. I do it. As a filmmaker, as a writer, and as a fan, I just have to jump in a little bit and say, I get they wanted that to be the character arc of this character. That makes sense. I don't think that they wrote that on the scene. I didn't see why he was so bitter, but I do think that, okay, that does take him. They needed him to be back for Amelia to be in this. They couldn't have his character be a high flying lawyer. They couldn't do that because it just doesn't work. I guess he had to be a guy who had left all this behind and he comes, but you know what? I don't know. I'm thinking both sides. Why does he own an down on the luck ice skating rink?
Yeah, if you want nothing to do with it, why do you want an ice?
Yeah,
ice
if he
hates because hockey. Even though he hates hockey, there's a part of him that probably is still holding on to the
he
hope.
Still
that
maybe hung someday his picture up on the wall.
I never felt like he was always fully in. Anyways, after watching them all again,
yeah, you
know, each movie he has his moment where he's like he walks away and then he comes back. You know, like
he
in the first
ice
movie
cream with the enemy.
Yeah, yeah. In the first movie, he's being forced to do this, and then the second one, he lets fame go to his head, and he like leaves behind. And then the third movie, it starts with him being like, "I'm leaving, guys," and they're like, "What are you doing? You're leaving."
Mm-hmm. I'm Katie, aka KT_Christine, across all social media, including Twitch. Also writing articles for that hashtag show, currently reviewing Batwoman and Riverdale. So you can catch those there.
You can find me on Instagram at the Jacoba System, and just everyone have a great week and continue loving all the stuff you love and be nerdy and geeky and have a good time.
Follow me at Jim Fry LA. Jim Fry LA is in the city on Twitter and James D. Fry on Instagram. Thank you guys. Please leave comments, like us, follow us. It really helps us out. All right, Cheeseman, take us out.
Yeah, Cheeseman here with theconguy.com as well. You can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Cheese on Couch. And hope you have a wonderful week. Check out Godzilla vs. King Kong. Support your fandom. Support all the shows we've been talking about. And we do love the Mighty Ducks. We do love Falcon and the Winter Soldier and the Invincible show. So check those out. It has been fun. So support your fandoms, everybody, and have a good week.
Thanks for listening to The Con Guy Show, the official program of theconguy.com. Find us on the Weeby Geeks Collective or anywhere you listen to podcasts. And now on sci-fi.radio, Saturdays at 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific, both AM and PM. That's 9 o'clock Greenwich. It's sci-fi for your Wi-Fi.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.